The construction cranes over Miami, Florida always say something's going on. The boom and bust cycles everywhere else in America don't really apply in Miami. And the Panama Papers leaks have provided an answer to the question of why and who was investing in luxury condos and high-rises in Miami when the ownership of some of the developments over the past decade were at best sketchy companies loaded with invisible partners. 200 countries and territories from Iceland to India have been implicated in the Panama Papers, and in the U.S., Miami has come in for some special scrutiny. Nicholas Nehemis is a reporter for the Miami Herald. He's been tracing how his city is involved in the international money laundering world for months as part of the Panama Papers investigating team.
People in Miami have been talking about the condo market being propped up by illicit money since, you know, the 70s and 80s, the cocaine cowboy days. But this is really the first, you know, major example of case after case of people accused of corruption buying real estate in Miami with cash. And, you know, the federal government is aware of this and last month started tracking shell companies like these buying luxury real estate in Miami and Manhattan. And the market is already cooling off for a variety of economic reasons, but also maybe because people are scared of the feds finding out what they're up to.
Do you have a sense of the kind of transaction that all of a sudden alerted the feds and what was going on before the feds paid any attention? I mean, you just put the money down and you've got your penthouse?
Yeah, there are no banks involved. We don't really see briefcases full of cash anymore. It's more like financial instruments such as cashier's checks, money orders. And I think the case that really alerted people to what was happening was an alleged drug lord, Alvaro Lopez Tardon of the so-called Los Miami gang, who bought, I think, more than 10 condos, a fleet of luxury cars, and was sentenced to 150 years in federal prison for money laundering.
How much is Brazil conceivably involved in this? The Brazil-Miami connection is, again, well-known.
Brazil is one of the top buyers of Miami real estate, despite their economy. And in fact, the biggest name that we found in Miami was a real estate developer and politician in Brazil called Paulo Octavio, who secretly bought a $3 million waterfront condo in Miami a few months after being accused of corruption and having to resign as the governor of Brasilia.
In this particular case, this money comes out of Brazil, and at no point are taxes paid, not even sales tax in Florida?
There would be taxes paid, but they could be paid through a shell company. So no one would really know who is behind that company.
And the shell company pays the tax, but you don't lose any money. It all just comes to you. The company is set up to basically take all the losses, and you get all the cash.
Yeah, it's a limited liability company. In a lot of instances, it's owned by an offshore company. Many of them are based in the British Virgin Islands, which is a popular tax and offshore haven.
And is the available cash out of Mossack Fonseca used in the arms trade at all? You've mentioned drugs, you've mentioned real estate and money laundering to avoid taxes.
Yes, we in Miami actually have a story coming about a pretty well-known case locally of three young guys who managed to win hundreds of millions of dollars in arms contracts from the Pentagon, but it seems may have been a front for a Swiss arms dealer on a government watch list who was using an offshore company to do business with them. This is actually the subject of a new movie coming out in August starring Jonah Hill.
We're talking to Nicholas Nehemis, reporter at the Miami Herald. This is The Takeaway. So the movie and the revelations come out at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny how I guess art imitates life sometimes.
You just can't make this stuff up. Can you describe the systematic way in which this was leaked? I mean, leak is not really the right term to use in this essentially collaboration between insiders and journalists around the world.
Yeah, this was a massive undertaking. Nearly 400 journalists around the world. We communicated to analyze these files on a tool that was kind of similar to a private Facebook. And it was really amazing to be able to work with colleagues in Brazil, Italy, and Argentina, because I'd say, you know, oh, I found this guy in the files buying a condo. He seems pretty interesting. And my Brazilian colleagues would say, oh, my God, that's huge. You don't know who that is. And then they'd help me figure out what was really going on.
Do you think this is Greenwald and Company or the same folks that enabled Snowden?
The leaker?
Yeah.
You know, I really have no idea. The German newspaper that got the leak, Süddeutsche Zeitung, the leaker is a confidential source for them. It appears maybe to have come from inside the firm, but otherwise, beyond that, I really don't know.
Fascinating stuff. I guess this is going to take up the rest of your year, huh, Nicholas?
This is just beginning, and we have a lot more digging to do. I mean, there are 11.5 million files and so many unexplored angles. I would say to anyone in Miami who's listening, if you have an offshore, better tell us now because we may find out very soon.
Nicholas Nahamas is a reporter at the Miami Herald. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.